have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And we are taping on the eve of March 31st, which is the International Day of Trans Visibility. In the news, well, Republican U.S. senators continued to disgrace themselves in hectoring Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, but she is on her way to confirmation to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I'm holding my breath, but I agree. It looks like it's going to happen, but not with any help from Florida's very wicked Governor DeSantis, who fulfilled his pledge and signed the Don't Say Gay, Bi, Trans bill and promptly violated the new law himself.
We're going to show you a picture of that violation. Texas, Arizona, Oklahoma, Alabama continue to terrorize, and Utah actually, to terrorize trans children. But the U.S. Air Force is stepping in to protect trans children of its personnel in these states.
See, there are a few good news stories here, including in Utah, even though they did that. California gets its first transgender judge. And the Second Circuit Court of Appeals
It's second lesbian, actually.
Okay.
I'm changing the headline.
Okay.
All right. Vladimir Putin, you might have heard of him lately, expressed solidarity with J.K. Rowling in fighting against transgender people.
You would have thought he was a little too busy to pay attention to her, but evidently not. LGBTQ Ukrainians in the thick of the military campaign to stop the Russian invasion.
The founder of a different light gay bookstore in San Francisco has died.
Private donors have helped spring 11 gay men in Cameroon from prison.
It's terrible what they went through. Yeah. The Academy Awards, you might have read, made some unwanted history, but there were LGBTQ breakthroughs to celebrate.
We will get to that eventually, but we think there are a few more important things in the world. And finally, Tyler Perry's Madea series has its first out LGBTQ character.
Yeah, that's on Netflix, huh?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
I think so.
Netflix.
Ketanji Brown Jackson, you witnessed the appalling hearings, especially when it came to the way the Republican senators treated her. I mean, just viciously. We have a picture of how New Yorker cartoonist Blit depicted Judge Jackson and South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, with Graham as something bad on the bottom of her shoe. Jackson.
Well, I think that's a little wishful thinking. I'd like to think that that's how it would end up, but man, they went after her.
Jackson was castigated for some sentences and child porn cases below what prosecutors asked for. And then Senator Dick Durbin speaks up of Illinois, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, and said, Josh Hawley from Missouri, who was one of these hectorers, you voted for a Republican federal judge who made similar rulings in porn cases. In fact, you're the one who proposed this guy.
And as we said last week, her sentencing fell into line with 80% of judges in these cases. I look at what happened to her. It was very, very difficult to watch and to sit through for me, let alone her.
Sure.
So it certainly was in my mind as I watched the Oscars attack, as I thought about other ways in which Black women have been assaulted, as I thought about Venus and Serena Williams and what they have been going through lately, including the as being tangentially involved in the Oscars thing. So we'll get to all of that, sure. But it's just such a universe of of attacks on Black women across the board. It's heartbreaking and infuriating to watch. And Ketanji Brown Jackson was at the top of that list for me.
But we do want to thank U.S. Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. He held up in the hearings anti-racist baby, to use it to try to attack the judge. Is this the kind of stuff that, you know, they're teaching kids in schools and your kids in schools? How do you feel about that? Well, the book went to number one on Amazon.
It's a children's book.
Yes.
I want to read it. I should get in line on Amazon.
Now, you know, as disgusting as these Republicans are, they are favored to take back the House and Senate in 2022. It's not inevitable, but those are the odds. And, you know, and Trump is favored to beat Biden at this point if the election were held today. But that's, you know, and that's just, this is what I don't understand about the country. I understand people want change when they're unhappy. And they're unhappy about inflation and COVID and everything else. They're unhappy. And they just want somebody else. But, you know, Trump's criminality is in the papers every single day.
And Andy.
That's the country we live in. It's very perverse.
His criminality does not, they think, affect them the way gas prices do. And prices at the grocery store.
Asking for Putin's help in the middle of a war?
You are asking for rational, intellectual judgments. People don't follow the news. They don't know these things. Just because we do doesn't mean that the majority of the country does. They really don't. They don't watch MSNBC. They don't read the newspapers. They don't do anything but understand where their pocketbook is going. And first of all, I'm not convinced that either Biden or Trump will be the nominee in 2024. And I think it's far too early to think about it. But the midterms are really the issue. And whether we will be able to hold the Senate, maybe even increase a seat or two, that would be delightful. Hold the House. I don't think it's out of the question.
Very tough with the voter suppression laws, you know, and to go back to Judge Jackson. She's not going to change the split on the court. And the GOP is gunning for, you know, at this point, you know, let's talk about what we're facing at the court. They're going after all unenumerated rights that aren't explicitly laid out in the 1789 Constitution. They're seeking to overturn. We've talked about this. They're seeking to overturn Griswold, which gave you the right to contraception as a married couple. Obergefell, Roe v. Wade, nothing is safe from the ideologues. But now you say people don't read the papers. What about Clarence and Ginny Thomas? I mean,
I don't think they care about that either.
A remotely fair Congress would impeach him for dis.
Not going to happen.
All right. So you say people don't follow the news, but at least let's tell.
They tried twice to impeach Trump. They failed at that.
You know, when I was growing up, there were billboards all over the South saying impeach Earl Warren.
They didn't do that either.
He was a good guy. Anyway, all right. But let's go to who may be the Republican nominee in 2024, Governor Ron DeSantis. Ann?
Yes, I agree that that's definitely a possibility. Well, Governor DeSantis, there he is, exploiting charter school children to sign the Don't Say Gay, Bi, or Trans bill, which is sort of, he keeps lying about it. He keeps saying, look, this is just to give parents rights to control education in grades 1 through 3. It doesn't say anything about LGBTQ. All of that is completely lying or misleading. The bill says, Beyond third grade,
right,
you can weigh in on education at any point in your child's school career if you think it's age inappropriate.
And you can sue the school district. He's trying to bankrupt these school districts because he just wants private schools and charter schools. He says he's protecting children from indoctrination. Of course, if that were true, he'd be going after Fox News and trying to shut them down. He says he doesn't care what corporate media says or Hollywood says or big corporations say. I'm not backing down. But he, of course, takes tons of corporate money, and they keep giving it to him, including $100,000 from Disney.
Charter school where he signed the bill has some school clubs. Do they have a GSA club? No, they do not. They have the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they have Young Americans for Freedom.
There was Ron DeSantis saying gay, you know, talking about this bill, which technically is a violation of the Don't Say Gay bill in front of these little children. It was horrible seeing them being exploited that way. U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardano warned he will be, quote, monitoring implementation of the law to evaluate whether it violates federal law. He said DeSantis has targeted the most vulnerable students and families under the guise of parental rights. So he says, you'll probably say this won't happen either, and I doubt it, but he says, look, you risk the loss of federal funds with what you're doing. And when they get serious, that's when you start getting a response. It's like when Poland and Hungary were told, you're going to lose EU funds if you keep hurting gay people and getting rid of democracy. Then they start to pay attention.
Yeah, but DeSantis then will just exploit that to double down on the horrors of the federal government and his own persecution and keep turning himself into a martyr in that situation. The ACLU says this law is a violation of the First Amendment, but there are some very different rules in schools for free speech. And right. So I'm not convinced that we would win those cases.
Well,
I was struck by the hypocrisy of New York's mayor, Eric Adams.
Who issued a statement against this. You know, he's trying to make up with the gays. And we've talked about this, what are the schools in the blue states doing to integrate LGBTQ issues and to really say LGBTQ? Now, Disney is now saying they'll fight anti-LGBTQ bills in other states after their late start in Florida.
Well, they got a long list of bills to go after.
Employees want them to end donations to those who vote for the bills and suspend new investments in states that enact them. The American Family Association, of course, is boycotting Lightyear because it includes a lesbian kiss now.
Yes, because Disney restored the lesbian kiss in Lightyear, the Toy Story sequel or whatever.
Prequel, isn't it?
Okay, I don't know. It's a quell of
Lightyear.
Something. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go through some of these states.
Yep.
Might as well start with Texas, since that's one of the biggest offenders. The attorney general there, Ken Paxton, just will not stop. He told the Austin School District, ironically the state capital where he and Governor Abbott work, that their Pride Week that they scheduled in the schools is illegal instruction and indoctrination without parental consent. The school administrators told him to get lost and said that they are proud of our LGBTQIA+ students and will protect them. Now, this is a showdown in the state capitol, which right. I love.
Now, let's stick with Paxton and let's put up the picture of the Briggle family. They have a trans son, the tall kid there, Grayson, who was 14. And he's been out since he was 6 and he was getting along well at school and in the rest of life. His mom, Amber, got a call from Child Protective Services. She wanted a lawyer before she did that, but the investigator said, oh, I got to come now. Sent her into shock. Child Protective Services interviewed her husband, with no notice, and their two kids separately, now terrified that Grayson will be taken away from them. She runs a small business. Her husband is an associate professor of philosophy at the University of North Texas. They're getting support from their coworkers, but Grayson is an A student, a gymnast, a black belt. He's been fighting, and she's been fighting since 2016. Now listen to this. She even invited Ken Paxton to dinner, and he came over with his kids, and they thought it went very well. And now he's trying to assassinate them.
Well, I have to say one thing, which is that don't ever let investigators into your house without your lawyer. Just because they yell at you and tell you they have to come right now doesn't mean you have to pay attention to them. Lock the doors. Get out of town.
And then can they, if you refuse, can I don't know the procedures. Can they get an order? Well, then we're just taking the kids away. This is what people feel.
I don't know, but I would certainly refuse to talk to them without either consulting a lawyer or having one present.
Right.
In North Texas, in the Granbury schools, the school superintendent ordered removal of all LGBT books from the shelves. And when
130 of them.
And when objections were raised, he said, if you're not conservative, you better hide it in this town.
There are two genders, male and female. It's one of the largest book removals in the country. The ACLU is on the case. Students are petitioning for return of the books, and they got 600 signatures. So, again, this certainly raises the kids are all right. You know, they should set up separate libraries with gay books.
They are going to public libraries to look up the books. They are going to Amazon and ordering books. This is driving kids to learn more. And, I want to say we should be grateful for that. But, what is with these people? I want to go to Utah, where the legislature did override Republican Governor Spencer Cox's veto of a trans sports in school ban. And here was the governor's statement when the legislature overrode his veto. I just love this. Let me read this whole thing. Four kids and only one of them playing girls' sports. Four kids who aren't dominating or winning trophies or taking scholarships. Four kids, this is four trans kids in the state, who are just trying to find some friends and feel like they're part of something. Four kids trying to get through each day. Rarely has so much fear and anger been directed at so few. I don't understand what they're going through or why they feel the way they do, but I want them to live.
Fantastic. And he tried to educate in this four-page letter to the legislature, trying to get them not to override his veto. 86% of trans youth report suicidality. 56% have tried to take their own lives. It also subjects local school districts to lawsuits and the athletic association to lawsuits. So there'll be less money for girls' sports that you claim to care so much about. But the legislature would, and also the reason they're on the hook for it is because the legislature wouldn't modify the bill to indemnify the school districts because that would delay its passage. So and this was really shocking to me. They had to find 10 more votes in the House, more votes, and 5 more votes in the Senate to override his veto. And they did. Utah, the Mormons, the nice people, forget it.
Well, I would have a different stereotype, but
they're anti-gay.
They're not watching the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City because they have gay kids, trans people in their lives. That should be the standard there. Right, meanwhile, Arizona, the legislature passed several bills outlawing trans youth health care, participation in sports, any curriculum mention of LGBTQ, they're going across the board.
Did Kyrsten Sinema have anything to say about that?
Not that I know of.
She's the U.S. Senator, bisexual.
And in Oklahoma and Kentucky, both states have passed trans youth sports bans in school.
As did the Kansas State Senate, and in Alabama, the House is set to make it a felony to provide medically necessary health care for trans youth up to the age of 19. The Senate has already passed it. Now, I want to say, all this is going on in the states. Do you have anything else from the states?
Just a little fighting back. In Passaic, New Jersey, students from three public schools, high schools, walked out of class to yell at the school board, which had outlawed pride flags at the schools.
Right. All this is going on, and I don't like to criticize our own organizations, but I'm going to. We got an email from NGLTF, the task force, and they've announced that the entire staff is taking a break March 28th to April 18th. They want to model rest and care for themselves. Now, everyone should take annual leave, and everybody should take care of themselves, but should we do that in the midst of this crisis with all this stuff is heating up in the states? You can time it. The timing is terrible. But by doing this, they are modeling something that makes them social justice leaders.
It's discouraging. All right. Where are we?
Well, we got Governor Newsom. He's appointed... Yeah. California's second out trans judge, she's Andy Mudrick, to the Sacramento County Superior Court. Victoria Kolakowski was the first, elected as a judge in Alameda County in November 2010. Mudrick is a seasoned civil rights advocate, 20 years experience with disability rights and rehabilitation.
And in New York, Judge Allison Nathan has been confirmed. We told you about her being nominated before to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. Congratulations to her. And thank you to the governors who've been appointing these. Well, Allison Nathan, I guess, was appointed by Biden. That's a federal
right.
Court.
Beth Robinson was the first. She's also on the Second Circuit, out LGBTQ. Nathan's been a district court judge in New York, a special assistant to President Obama, associate White House counsel, on and on and on. She's married, it says her partner, I don't know, NYU law professor and faculty director there, Meg Satterwhite. They are parents to twins.
This is Trans Visibility Week. Tomorrow, March 31st, as we tape, is the Trans Day of Visibility. So there's a lot going on all over the place this week. Palm Springs, California is considering a proposal to do some income support for trans people in the city, which is a great idea, especially given how hard it is for trans people to get employment and housing and everything else. And New York State is debating whether to do some kind of support fund for trans people in the state, both income and services.
I mean, the Palm Springs thing is just a development fund, $200,000, and they're talking about giving people a supplement of about $600 to $900 a month. But they, they hope it will make a difference.
And be a model.
Yes. Let's go back to, should we go back to Decatur, Illinois? We have a videotape about this. Sue Fustin was hired to teach at a local Catholic school, and here's what happened.
62-year-old Sue Fustin has been in teaching and a principal her entire career. But being walked out of Our Lady of Lourdes School on March 22nd has left her shocked.
I said, well, does this have to do that I'm married to Deb? And the father shook his head. And the counsel stated, this is due to your marital status.
Sue Fustin and Deb Rainey legally got married in 2019, but have been together for decades.
My whole professional career, I've been gay.
Fustin says it isn't a secret and that she's never brought her personal life into the classroom. And she says she even brought it up to the principal before signing on to teach at Our Lady of Lourdes.
I asked Mrs. Bowser, I said, will teaching here be an issue because I'm married to Deb? And Mrs. Bowser, again, very professionally, is like, I don't care. I need a teacher.
Sue says a parent found her wedding picture online and sent it to Our Lady of Lourdes priest, Father Friedel, and that's when she was fired. Now, I called the Springfield Catholic Diocese, and they sent me a statement. It says, while we do not discuss the specifics of personnel decisions, all teachers in Catholic schools are ministers of the Catholic faith. As such, they sign a contract to publicly uphold Catholic Church teachings.
I looked at the contract. They needed me to start immediately. And honestly, it said something about Roman Catholic doctrine, but I didn't know what that was.
Fustin says this is wrong, and it's discrimination.
I had never felt so demeaned. I've never felt my dignity ripped from me professionally like this.
Why go public with this?
My desire is to bring light that people are good people. And that maybe, just maybe, someone down in 5 years from now or 10 years from now may be gay and may be a teacher somewhere and they don't have to go through this.
Dawn Sterling, WAND News.
Sue Fustin has had an outpouring of support from parents and other teachers and will be seeking legal counsel over her dismissal.
Our Lady of Lourdes does not deserve her.
Of course not, but the students do. And this has been litigated to try to figure out who is actually a minister in a Catholic school, because not everybody is or should be. And there are court cases that have distinguished between different positions. She's not teaching religion. She has no religious title. And so litigation might very well find in her favor.
She might have a chance in state court. I don't know about the U.S. Supreme Court. All right.
In Grand Rapids, Michigan, at another church institution, Calvin University of the Christian Reformed Church, a married lesbian employee was told that she could not continue teaching. She was at the Center for Social Research, which is a part of the university. So in this case, the university did something creative. They separated the Center for Social Research from the main body of the church university, which did not turn out to be a total answer to this, but at least they were giving it a try. And Grand Rapids, as the home of Amway and the DeVos family, is not the most welcoming place. And then in Ohio,
At a public school, Huntington, local school district, a gay teacher was fired after he gave out LGBTQ pride bracelets to the students. Jay Bowman was a substitute teacher. He's been a teacher for 30 years. He got asked about his bracelet. He said, oh, you want one? So he gave them out to the class. So the school policy says you can't discuss political, religious, or personal beliefs. Some students are showing solidarity. So he got fired. Some students are showing solidarity with him by wearing the bracelets and putting pride flags onto their artwork.
But the award for most unusual support or unexpected support may go to the Department of the Air Force this week.
Yes.
Which, as it looked at all these attacks on LGBT students in schools around the country, said to itself, look, our personnel get assigned all over the country. They can't choose where to live. And so we are going to support them. And we have told our members, our personnel, that they can use our clinics and our hospitals if the state they're living in blocks health care for trans youth.
Okay. In Buffalo, New York, a lesbian couple worked with a fertility clinic, and they said, look, we want a girl, and we have our reasons. But then Heather Rutenberg Wilhelm was traumatized. She was traumatized because she had been sexually assaulted by men twice. And this is one of the reasons she didn't want a boy. And the clinic screwed up. They impregnated her with a male zygote. And a son was born in December 2020. She became suicidal over it. At first, she thought, maybe I'm carrying somebody else's child. It's not even my child. This was really traumatic for her. So she's suing. She loves her son now. but was traumatized by the experience. That's her with her wife, Robbie. Wow. She didn't consider, abortion was suggested to her, but she didn't consider that.
Right. They considered giving up the baby for adoption, but
If it wasn't hers, yeah.
Right. But then they discovered that it was the right embryo. And so they're keeping the son. But what a shocker when the place has promised you you are getting a girl. And there you are. All right. In more trans news, in the District of Columbia, the Department of Corrections has announced here in Trans Day of Visibility that they will no longer shackle trans people on intake. Thank you very much. And no more protective custody while they're waiting assignment. This is a settlement of a lawsuit that the ACLU brought over this kind of treatment.
Well, along those lines, first let's talk about somebody we lost this week, Tatiana LaBelle, 33 years old, black trans woman. She went missing 5 days before and then was found dead in a Chicago alley, beaten to death in the Chatham neighborhood. The story I read said it was the seventh trans person to be murdered in Chicago in 2022. No arrests were made. It might be the whole number of trans people killed in the country, I think.
More likely. Yeah. But still an undercount, I think.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And then you want to tell us about
this? Yes. So the NYCLU, Civil Liberties, and TLDEF, Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund, they're suing on behalf of a trans inmate in New York, Mikayla Holland, who was illegally strip searched during 6 weeks in custody in Broome County Jail upstate, placed in a male lockup. Well, we have a video from her. Let's listen to her story.
My name is Mikayla Marie Holland. I'm 23. I work at a nursing home here in Binghamton, New York. The Broome County Jail definitely did scar me. When they found out that I was trans, I instantly was a target. I felt like the jail was not equipped for a trans woman, and definitely a trans woman of color. It was a lot of things I was refused and neglected because my birth certificate said one thing on it, and I'm physically what you see. They would try to show me their privates every day. Men would ask me to see my chest every day. In jail, there's no one to be trusted, not even the corrections officers, the people that you think you can trust. When the jail denied me my hormone therapy and my depression medication, I felt like my life was just being snatched from me. I felt like there was no need to live. The nights that I cried and the pain that I felt and the heat flashes that I felt, and nobody cared. I shouldn't have to live my lifestyle with a worry. Should no one have to live their lifestyle with a worry? I'm so dedicated to my transition and me because it's my truth. It's truly how I feel. I feel like this is just me. I want all New Yorkers to know, if you want the utmost respect, give the utmost respect. Just let everyone be great. Because everyone is different in their own skin.
Pull out, okay. They are now pushing a bill called the Gender Identity, Respect, Dignity, and Safety Act to change these protocols in prisons and jails, and go to nyclu.org for more information.
Breaking news, the governor of Oklahoma has signed the No Trans Kids in Sports bill. not quite as perceptive and supportive as the governor of Utah. Right. Interesting case out of New York City. A guy named, what's his name?
Francis Austin. Yeah.
He was at Fordham University, and he was in the Navy ROTC program, Reserve Officer Training Corps. He claims to have been raped by fellow ROTC.
By his roommate.
Right, 10 years ago. And he's been pursuing this, and he had filed complaints. He found out fairly recently that Fordham never pursued the complaints. But now the U.S. Navy Board of Corrections for Naval Records has issued a report that says that Francis was unjustly forced out of Navy ROTC. That was another part of the story. He was blamed for all of this, and that Fordham had lied about this and forged his signature on debt documents. So the Navy board says that his $125,000 debt is canceled and that he should be allowed to pursue this.
That's a very rare granting of relief from that board. He's the guy who he said alleges raped him is a guy named Patrick X. Sweeney, whose father was a very high-powered lawyer in the Navy, in the U.S. military, rather. This guy Sweeney serves in the U.S. Marines as a commanding officer.
Terrible story. And in Las Vegas, Dante Gray, 32 years old, described as incredibly homophobic, bought a knife and followed a gay man down the street and stabbed him repeatedly. The guy survived, but this was just a deliberate homophobic attack. You know, when you go into a store to buy a knife to go stab someone.
All right. Well, the war was brought home by RUSA LGBTQ, our friends there. They conduct an annual Pride March in Brighton Beach. Well, this time they were marching in support of Ukraine, but down there in South Brooklyn, which is home to New York's Russian community. On March 18th, they were shouting, "No Putin, no war, get out of Ukraine." Marchers included many Ukrainians. RUSA LGBT has been having that parade there, their own parade there, for many, many years now.
Well, several years, five or six, I would say. I went the first two or three years, and I'll go back maybe this year. But they are an excellent group of emigres from Russia and surrounding countries, including Ukraine, and they've been just right on top of this.
Right. Vladimir Putin is expressing solidarity with transphobe J.K. Rowling, as we have saying that both she and Russia are victims of cancel culture. Rowling, he said, was written off just because she didn't satisfy the demands of gender rights, and compared her plight to the Nazi burning of books, which he said was impossible to imagine in our country where there is no place for ethnic intolerance. Now, let's remember that when, you know, he says, let's recall the burning of books. That was the burning of a gay library, which is of Magnus Hirschfeld. That's the pic. That's what that footage is from the Nazis. And of course, a burning neither Putin nor Ron DeSantis would have any problem with whatsoever. So now Rowling, who has taken none of her anti-trans statements back, nevertheless said, critiques of Western cancel culture are possibly not best made by those currently slaughtering civilians.
Well, I'm glad to
hear
that.
Too much, even for her.
Yeah. And also nice to know that he can be distracted. Maybe there's hope that we can get him off the war footing. But Russia is now one of the tropes they're using to justify the war in Ukraine is that Ukraine is, quote, recruiting gay soldiers who are depraved and weak and don't deserve to exist. And therefore, it's very good for Russia to attack.
Well, there are Ukrainian LGBTQ people, of course, in the defense forces. One of them, Vlad Shas, 26, is a drag performer, popular in the Ukrainian LGBT scene, and is using her contacts as a stylist to help army find material and supplies. Ukraine's prides, Yura Dvishan, a film director, says many LGBTQ people from Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan have fled to the Ukraine for refuge, and now the LGBT community is strictly focused on helping Ukraine win the war, fighting in the military. So Putin's not wrong. They're in, but they're tough.
And ILGA, formerly known as the International Lesbian and Gay Association, is doing a lot to raise resources for Ukraine and specifically for LGBTQ people there. If you go to their website, ILGA, I-L-G-A, you can get lists of organizations to support for this.
New York City Pride, they announced their theme, Unapologetically Us. They're going to have their fully in-person march on June 26th. It's the same day as the Queer Liberation March, which is where I will be.
Very rude. Very rude of them.
Yes.
Unapologetically Us, meaning they are not going to apologize for all the heinous corporations they have sponsoring the march or the violent police.
Andre Thomas, who we had on the show, is still the co-chair with Sue Doster. What's the theme of Reclaim Pride, Queer Liberation March this year?
Freedom for all.
Okay, good. I'm for that.
Yeah, me too. Community, grassroots, unregimented marching.
All right.
Let's I know what the theme is. No corpse, no cops, no BS.
Okay. We want to mourn the passing of Richard Labonte. He died at 63. We have a picture of him. That's a picture from 1989. Editor of numerous anthologies of LGBTQ literature, originally from Canada, where he wrote for The Body Politic, gay paper, and worked at Glad Day Bookstore in Toronto. So he moved to L.A. with his partner, Norman Laurie Law, and co-founded a Different Light bookstore. They broke up, and Laurela opened up the New York branch in 1983. Gay bookstores were a big deal in those days. And he won 3 Lambda Literary Awards, including for Best Gay Erotica. He died on Bowen Island, British Columbia, survived by his husband, Asa Dean Lyles.
Probably Asa.
Asa, so whatever. Let's call the whole thing off.
Exactly. All right. International news.
Yeah.
I don't know. I sent a late picture to our director. I don't know if he got it, Rich, of Jamie Wallace.
Jamie Wallace. There he is.
Yes.
There he is, Welsh MP to the Parliament in London, came out as trans. He's a conservative. And he also opened up about having been raped and blackmailed in separate incidents. Now, Boris Johnson and the Labour leader, Keir Starmer, voiced support in the Commons Forum. But earlier, I think it was the day before, Johnson made a very bad taste, quote unquote, joke about trans people at a dinner where Wallace was present. This may have prompted him to come out.
Maybe.
He's not taking a new name. He will keep using he, him.
For the moment. He says, I'm trans, or more accurately, I want to be trans. He says he's been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, and I think his life is a work in progress. He also had some horrible car crash that he ran away from because he said he was so freaked out at the idea of being exposed. And they were blackmailing him to say they'd tell his father. He's just been in agony for several years and now feels quite relieved to finally be talking about this.
Boris Johnson says he's pro-trans, but he won't move on all the trans issues in the parliament.
Talk is cheap. All right. Also in the UK, the Independent Office of Police Conduct issued a report that talked all about police homophobia, stereotypes of gay male behavior. They delayed the capture of a killer because they were so wrapped up in their stereotypes. Five cops have been reprimanded, but then promoted in this case.
In Cameroon, we told you about all the people they round up for homosexuality. So donors brought about the early release of nine prisoners convicted of homosexuality. Two more are scheduled for release through this thing called Project Not Alone. Very important. Two were arrested at work for protesting that their boss stopped paying them because they were gay. I don't have to pay you. You're gay.
And it's an interesting equation.
In prison, they were jailed for a year without trial in 2020, suffered horrors from the guards and the other prisoners, and aid groups got them a lawyer and a trial. And then they were sentenced to 18 months, but the judge said time served, but you got fines of $356, which they could not pay because they can't earn money. They were sentenced to 24 months to work off the fines, but then donations covered that. They want to stay in the city, God bless them, and open up a food stall since no one will hire them.
The United Nations adopted something called the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. This is something that's been in place for years. Well, they have a committee on the elimination of discrimination against women. And that committee has ruled in the case of a complaint from Sri Lanka that criminalization of consensual same-sex intimacy among women violates the human rights of the women and violates that convention. These women in particular have been subjected to threats, harassment, abuse, violence, and denial of their rights. It turns out that 40 countries criminalize sex between women. But most of those 40 countries have signed this convention against discrimination against women.
Well, it's one of the appalling things about this story is that in 1995, you know, they only had a law against gay male sex up until then. And then they said, that's discrimination. Let's put women in the bill, too.
On The View today. Oh, Sunny Hostin. They had Hannah Gadsby on, who was terrific.
Lesbian comic, Australian.
Yes.
Australian?
Yes. Yeah. Tasmania, part of Australia. And she mentioned something about gay sex being illegal in Tasmania until 1995. And Sunny Hostin says, oh my God, 1995. And I'm thinking it was illegal here until 2003, Sunny.
In 13 states.
Yeah.
It was illegal in New York until 1980, so I violated the law many times.
Whatever. Good for you. In France, six LGBT organizations in France are suing a far-right presidential candidate. They have an election coming up for denying that the candidate denied that the Nazis targeted gay men.
All right. In AIDS and health news, congratulations, LGBTQ people. 93% of us are fully vaxxed. 79% of those are boosted. We are way ahead of the general population.
And congratulations and thanks to Lil Nas X, who did a fundraiser with his Montero album. He set up what he called a baby registry when he gave birth to the album Montero. He raised $500,000 so far for HIV organizations across the South in the United States to send resources to grassroots groups serving the most vulnerable to HIV-positive people and the leaders of organizations who are trying to help end the epidemic in the South in particular.
Well, in San Francisco, they're planning the largest display of the AIDS Memorial quilt in a decade. We have a picture of the press conference. It's going to be in June 2020, the 11th and the 12th in Golden Gate Park. You might recognize the guy with the white hair towards the left is Cleve Jones, the founder of it. 35 years after it was created, they're going to put 3,000 panels on display. Now,
well, old and new. Some of them are new panels.
100 new panels will be seen for the first time, made through the Memorial's Call My Name program, raising greater awareness of the impact of HIV/AIDS on communities of color, particularly in the South. But that picture of Washington you see is one of the big displays of the entire quilt at the time. There were 50,000 panels.
It is so moving to see it. I wanted to show that picture from D.C. to give you a sense of how enormous and impactful a display of these panels is. 3,000 in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco in June will be enormous and very meaningful.
Okay.
All right, we've laid long enough. Here we are at entertainment news.
As Amy Schumer would say, did anything happen this week?
I thought she was very good. I thought the hosts were very good. We'll get to them.
Let's start with the good news, all right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. The big news, of course, is Ariana DeBose. She's been winning everything. She's the first LGBTQ woman of color to win an acting award. She won for Best Supporting Actress for playing Anita in West Side Story. She's quite wonderful in that. And she said, for any of you out there who feel hopeless and alone, I just want you to know that you are unconditionally loved and the uniqueness for the uniqueness that is you. She identified as a proud queer woman.
Proud queer Afro-Latino. Right. She is only the second Latinx woman to win an Academy Award, and the other one was Rita Moreno playing the same part.
100 years ago.
Rather limiting universe of possibilities. And then Jessica Chastain won Best Actress for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Not my favorite movie, not my favorite portrayal, but she gave a very deliberate speech about LGBT suicide and these horrible laws.
Well, she referred to the bigoted legislation sweeping our country, which has the only goal of further dividing us. And I thought that was terrific.
And she called for compassion and radical acts of love, which, of course, was...
And I was very moved by Coda winning about the deaf family and Troy Kotsur. And when Troy Kotsur was presented the award by Yoon Young Yang, who won last year for Best Supporting Actress for Minari, she opens the envelope and she signs his name, which
beautiful.
I thought was terrific.
Yeah,
made me cry.
Elliot Page was there as part of a trio celebrating an anniversary of the movie Juno. And I think it got a lot of audience murmurs showing up as his trans self.
We finally got to hear from him.
Yes, and his voice has lowered. Wearing a Gucci tuxedo, and he is going, his character in Umbrella Academy in the next episode of that is going to be trans. So they're following along with his evolution. I thought it was interesting that Power of the Dog did not sweep as was originally predicted. It got overcome by Coda in the late voting. I thought Jane Campion won for Best Director. The through line here is the Venus and Serena through line, perceived as having been dissed by Jane Campion when she won at the BAFTAs, I guess, and made a comment about,
Critics' Choice Awards.
Critics' Choice Awards. And Jane Campion won and said, I'm happy to win as a woman director, but I have to compete against the men, unlike Venus and Serena, which is just a vast misunderstanding and misreading of everything they've accomplished in their lives, and was, a horrible slap at them. I put together Ketanji Brown Jackson and what she went through, what Venus and Serena went through with that thing at the Critics' Choice, and then at the Oscars with the Chris Rock, Will Smith confrontation. And again, they were drawn into that as the people who Will Smith was representing and who he talked about in his horrible, lugubrious
morose
speech. Self-serving.
He definitely needs therapy, and it was appalling. I know some people are trying to justify the violence because he insulted Chris Rock insulted his wife in a very bad way. But it's going to hurt his career.
For the moment, anyway, I'm not convinced it will hurt it forever, but because, they gave him a standing ovation, for God's sake.
I voted for Will Smith in the SAG Awards. I'm a member of the union. I voted for him. I thought it was a terrific performance in that movie. Now, when people see the movie, that's all they're going to be able to think of is what a jerk he is.
Well, of course, but the audience giving him a standing ovation, I thought, was as bad as the assault.
Right.
And back to Venus and Serena, they opened the show beautifully and introduced Beyonce singing in the tennis court, which was fantastic. And yet we end up in this same place of black women being attacked in one way or another. No matter how beautiful they are at the beginning of the show with that performance and that introduction, it still continues. And I found that very, very depressing. I love that musical number. I also love the We Don't Talk About Bruno number, which I thought was just fabulous.
I mean, look, I don't want to get slapped, but Kevin Sessoms, who writes about Hollywood all the time, says that, and I don't know what goes on between Will and Jada. I don't think anybody does. But he says they're both closet cases.
Well, that's not new information. That's been said for years. But
And it has to do with, his display of toxic masculinity.
And being overly defensive and all right. of that. There were so many other ways he could have handled it. But I don't know enough, and I'm not going to try to diagnose it. I also was offended by the fact that Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, Regina Hall opened the show, and suddenly DJ Khaled is walking in to have to justify their existence and to be the man who sanctions them. That was completely unnecessary.
Well, what about, but at the beginning of the show, also Wanda Sykes with Amy Schumer and Regina King. We're going to have a great
Hall. Regina Hall.
Oh, I'm sorry. Regina Hall. Apologize. We're going to have a great night tonight. And for you people in Florida, we're going to have a gay night. And she got the whole auditorium saying gay, gay, gay.
Well, there was a lot of gay at the Oscars, and particularly lesbians showing up with their wives or fiancés.
Yep.
Wanda Sykes with her wife, Alex, there on the left. Kristen Stewart on the right with her fiancé, right. Dylan, on the left next to her. I loved Kristen Stewart in those Chanel shorts. I don't care that they're Chanel.
We're out of time. We'll have to talk about Brandon Black next week.
Goodbye.